Lincoln Kennedy joining us. You can also hear him on The Nation with Grant Napier each and every week, but we get him on Mondays first. Hey, Link, how are you?
Good morning, everyone. How are you guys?
We're doing great. Want to remind everybody every week, Lincoln brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Check out those big, powerful coupons at JiffyLubeCA.com and get that car taken care of. Speaking of car, Lincoln, Derek Carr looked just fine in Jacksonville. And the question we've been wrestling with, did the Raider defense come through in holding Jacksonville just two off their season low, or did Jacksonville just suck? And you kind of got to pick one here.
Well, I'm gonna take the first one, first
okay,
choice, because it sounds better for the Raiders. I think this is one of the games where unanimously the Raiders needed not only to boost their confidence, not only to help their fan base, but of course to further their desire to be a part of a playoff looking team. Now, it is what it is. Jacksonville's not a very good team. Let's just call it what it is. They've got their own fair share of issues. But even some of the downtrodden teams that the Raiders have faced this year, it's never been a complete game. There's always been a phase that's led off. I mean, you know, prior to yesterday, the Raiders gave up at least 400 yards in every game they played in, even against some lesser, you know, worthy opponents, if you will. So I think it's good for the Raiders that they put a complete game together. Everything looked pretty good and came together. And of course, their time, the team staying in Tampa, or not in Tampa, it's in Sarasota, they can hopefully use this as a bonding experience and even come closer together. I went into this road trip thinking they should win both games, Jacksonville and Tampa, next week. And right now they've got one half of that done.
Lincoln, one of the big question marks for that defense has been, we've talked about it so much, their secondary. And I feel like the defense every week is making strides and they're getting better. And, of course, it has to do with strength of schedule and all of that. But how do you think that they've done in this matchup against the Jaguars in terms of their efficiency with their secondary?
A little bit better. The fact is, you know, when it comes – I know it's just people, they scratch their head when they hear it. There's a level of miscommunication amongst those guys in the secondary because the safeties want to help out versus the run, but the safeties also have to be in the middle of the field to prevent middle-of-the-field passes like posts and routes like that, deep digs, because the corners are anticipating the safeties to be in that position. So there's oftentimes a level of miscommunication that goes on. And even in pro day, by pro standards, it's unacceptable. You compile that with the fact that you also have matchup issues, the fact you want to get Carl Joseph into the lineup, mm-hmm. which is fine. But you got to remember, everybody in the National Football League seems to have a 6'7" tight end. Or 6'5" tight end, which proves a matchup problem for him. Now, yesterday, with Julian Thomas being down there, the former Denver Bronco, and now he's Jacksonville Jaguar, with him being on that team, there were times where the defense got exactly what they didn't want to see, and that was Joseph on Thomas, and Bortles couldn't complete the pass or couldn't complete it as consistent. So the quarterback struggled. You know, that's something that's not going to happen every week. So there are still issues they need to iron out. There are still issues that need to come together. I think what's, the one true thing I take from the defense yesterday is that they were able to show a solid run defense, even though Jacksonville doesn't run the ball very well, and also, come up with those plays in the passing game to negate any type of, real challenge that Jacksonville could put together.
You know, Lincoln, you mentioned that the Jacksonville usually struggles to run the ball. They did have a couple of big plays yesterday, but how important was it for the Raiders to get out to an early lead and take that option away completely for Jacksonville?
Well, it's always important to try to make a team one-dimensional, and especially in the National Football League where everybody's got athletes, everybody, has got guys who are paid on the other side, so everybody pose a problem. Aside from a few breakdowns yesterday, the run defense did provide to be pretty stout. They controlled their gaps. They maintained their integrity. The guys who, for the most part, who have outside force or outside containers, we like to call, did their jobs right. Now, there are still times where, as you mentioned, a couple of plays where it broke down and it wasn't there. And this is going to be something that's going to constantly plague them. I'm surprised Jacksonville didn't try to do more. If you look at the Kansas City film, to try to take that outside edge or try to get those outside corners on that defense. But you best believe Tampa Bay and everybody else who's watching film or have the Raiders on the schedule are going to try it at least a lot more than Jacksonville did.
Jiffy Lube bringing us Lincoln Kennedy, as they do every week on The Drive. Lincoln, I want to go back to something you said in the very beginning, was the Raiders staying in Sarasota. And I'm guessing at some point during your career, there was a situation where you guys stayed on the road during.
Never.
Oh, really? Never.
Never. Never. Never. You wouldn't put the group of guys I have. You would not leave them in a new city on the road with that much time. Never.
Well, that's kind of where I was going. Then I'm sure you can kind of guess and extrapolate here, knowing the team. They're on the road. They're coming off a win. Then they're in Florida for the rest of the week. And on the surface, maybe you think, well, they're away from home, family. This is a long road trip, but. Again, I want to build on what you said. There's a chance for not only these guys to bond, but stay away from all their distractions at home and just focus on pure football.
Yes, that's the plan.
Right.
look here, I have to be realistic, and you guys know me. I call it like I see it. I know that the teams that I played on would have never done well in these types of settings. I have a little bit more faith in these young men, mainly because being around them, they don't have the same type of attitude that me and my teammates had back in the day. And I think that's a good thing for this exercise, if you will, because I think it is an exercise. There have been very few people I've ever talked to who have done it. I had to go back to Coach Flores, who was a member of the AFL when they did it, you know, when they had the teams that sparse before the NFL days, and travel around. So I'm hoping for the best, and I think you will have the best out of these guys. I think they will seize it as a business trip and put all their efforts into being, you know, for the most part, staying out of trouble.
Lincoln, how much of the Raiders defense using their safeties to rush so much has to do with maybe the fact that Khalil Mack is off to such a slow start?
Well, you know, generally speaking, when you have to blitz, and they're not necessarily using their safeties to rush, but they're using their linebackers, you put your secondary on an island. I mean, it's man-on-man coverage. And there are times, if you look in multiple wide receiver looks, where a safety, you know, you bring in DJ Hayden to cover the third receiver. You might bring in, you know, you might have some sort of zone look when you have four receivers. But generally speaking, in most defenses, by design, schematically, a strong safety is going to be responsible for the tight end. So, Carl Joseph is strong against the run. But he's not exactly very tall. Now, the problem that becomes is that if you get a taller tight end and you just throw a high ball to where the tight end can catch it, just like the one that went over Malcolm Smith, often the taller guy wins. It's just a simple equation in physics. You answer your question about Khalil. Khalil has been double teamed. You know, yesterday he got off to a slow start and then finally made an impact. That's the great thing about having a defense make the other team one-dimensional, because now guys like Bruce Irvin, Khalil Mack can just tape back their ears and don't have to worry about the run because they know they're going to go after the passer.
You know, Lincoln, you talk about statistically a slow start for a guy like Khalil Mack, but he is getting a lot of attention from opposing offenses.
Yes.
Has he been able to impact the game in a way that doesn't show up on the stat sheet?
Well, anytime you can command a double team, yes, you can. Anytime, but then again, there are times where you're going to be singled up and you got to find a way to win. This defense is still trying to find its own, and what I mean by that is that they don't have a consistently good three technique on either side. So now you have to overload the box, whether you're playing five down linemen or if you're going with your 4-2 look, you got to have some production out of your defensive tackle, and it's been inconsistent. Stacy McGee, prior to yesterday, had a number of good games back-to-back, but unfortunately left early in the game with an ankle injury. So, you know, the health in that interior defensive line has something that's hurt not only the Raiders' defense as far as their run stoppage and run fits, but more importantly, you know, freeing up a person like Khalil Mack.
Lincoln Kennedy joining us. Speaking of line, switching over to the offensive line, it seems like Jack Del Rio has a real asset in the left side of that line, Donald Penn, and then the free agent acquisition, Kelechi Osemele. You saw them a couple times yesterday. When they needed a few yards, when they needed something, they just stacked behind the two of those guys, and they just overpowered that Jacksonville line. How great is that, not only for a right-handed quarterback, but also for a coach to have that side of the line just so good?
Well, you know, much to your point, not only the left side played well, but I thought the right side. Now, Austin Howard, who played the week before in Kansas City, did not have a good game. Had a good game yesterday, yep. A better game yesterday. And I think that aids. I've always believed, especially with these guys up front, their best asset is what I call straight downhill blocking, where you're not trying to pull guys around, which we call bob blocking. You're not trying to get out of the perimeter. You're going straight downhill. Because they don't have a definitive tight end or a way to seal up the edges, this is their best opportunity. I saw those guys push around the opposing people, and that's what it is. Just come off, go forward, push around, and have, you know, Latavius Murray run between the tackles, between the edges, if you will. And I think that's a strong suit that they can build on. Another step in the right direction would be to take on Tampa Bay and be able to do the same thing. It's really gratifying as a former offensive lineman to watch a team like the Raiders be able to close out teams in the end. The Raiders throughout the season notoriously have been bad in the second half, or not as consistent in the second half, even with a 5-2 record now. But to be able to close out a game running the ball and pushing people, and when you get down inside the 20, inside the 10, pushing people into the end zone and rushing into the end zone, that's what I enjoy watching, and I had a fun time watching it yesterday as well.
And Lincoln, and obviously this is near and dear to you, it's amazing to me with the amount of intelligent people that run NFL teams. I think a real fun and probably long project would be to try to find bad quarterbacks statistically behind really good offensive lines. It's amazing when teams figure out that if you spend money on the line, magically your running backs are going to look great, your quarterbacks are going to have career years, you're going to be able to control the clock. And you saw it with Seattle last night, for example, in Arizona. They've spent money on just about every part of that team but their offensive line. Why are there, and there's two great ones available right now in Staley and Joe Thomas, why is it that teams have it seemingly such a tough time making that connection between championship contention and offensive line?
Well, I think they believe in committing to the offensive line is boring.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the only way I know how to see it. I mean, honestly, they think that going after a star wide receiver or person who put a big, you know, stats in college at quarterback is going to be your naysayer. But if you don't have protection, everybody knows it all starts up front. There has always been the basic formula for football. And that's why, you know, when I first picked up the phone and called you or talked to you guys, you know, I heard you guys talk about the Miami running back who rushed for over 200 yards. You know, you were speaking finally of him, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, what's coming around, the resurgence, though you see what in college, you see the spread and everything, you see some semblance of it in the pro level. But don't forget, guys, these things come in rotations. And eventually you will see a power running game, a commitment to running backs come back. Ezekiel Elliott, Dallas Cowboys, no one runs the ball more than them. Hey, they've got a winning record. You know what I mean? It's these types of formulas that prove, especially when the weather gets bad, prove the work. And everybody knows who knows football knows that it always starts up front.
Lincoln, David Amerson to me is a guy that has kind of surprised me. He's got 33 tackles. He's outperforming Sean Smith. Is he any bit of a surprise, or were they expecting this play from him this year?
No, I think they saw what he could do last year, and that's why they committed to him. And as well, they wanted to go out and get taller receivers, I mean, taller defensive backs, because they knew they were going to face a lot of tall receivers. And that's why, you know, even the commitment with Deshaun Smith, where the secondary is, it's pretty darn good. I think the times that Amerson has been beaten, again, there's been miscommunications, but Sean Smith definitely has to pick it up. He's on the hit list, if you will, because he got a large chunk of money in free agency,
right?
So, and teams know how to go after him. Plus, you know, for the most part, sometimes the defenses that are called aren't really his cup of tea or strength. So his confidence has been hurt a little bit. He has to get back into the green.
Lincoln Kennedy joining us. Hey, Lincoln, maybe the play of the game. How genius was it for Jack Del Rio and that offensive team there to call for that Marquette King drop and then run? I mean, what an amazing play.
Just like you drew it up. You're going to have a overly consistent long snapper. One hop the ball to Marquette King.
Yeah.
Marquette, I want you to fake and give a very good legitimate fake that you want to punt it and then take off for, what, 22, 24 yards, whatever it was.
First down.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. First down. I mean, it's just like you drew it up, but there was no one who was even happier than Marquette. I mean, here's an athlete, a former wide receiver in college, that got a chance to show off his skills, and it's not every day that you have an athlete as capable as King take the ball and scurry outside when they had a punt block on, and there would be absolutely nobody there for 25 yards.
Lincoln, that Sunday night game last night, I have to ask you about it. I thought it was a yawn fest. It's been like since 1972 or something crazy where there hasn't been a single touchdown scored in an NFL game. It ends in a tie. At what point does the NFL realize that maybe isn't good for football?
That's a good question. You know what? The problem ultimately becomes is, do you take the college rule?
Yes.
And play until it's decided?
Yes.
But if that's the case, you have to increase the roster because you'll have injuries pile up. You see what I'm saying?
I was wondering that, though, Link, because I was wondering if the unions would get involved. But if you're playing, I mean, not in all cases, but like in the example for the tie last night, you're playing a full 15-minute quarter, right?
So that Seattle defense looked exhausted.
So are you gonna have – which overtime is going to be more plays? Is it going to be college overtime rules, or is it going to be your regular NFL overtime?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. You're going to have to add more players to even think about – doing that, you know, that college. Because let's face it, we see some college games go, what, 3-4 overtime?
Yes. And it's awesome.
And of course, the NFL has taken somewhat of the approach. You've seen it gradually going in. That's going to happen overnight. But the rarity of a tie is still out there. And yes, I was traveling back from Jacksonville last night, so I didn't get to see the game. We just caught up with the stats. But I agree with you. It was a snooze fest. Anytime an NFL game, especially a Sunday night game, you've touted to be a must-see game, ends in 6-6 is not good for the NFL.
Last thing for you, since we brought up college here, congratulations. We've been kind of following this all week long, or all year long, I should say. I think for the first time this year, we can say without a doubt that the Washington Huskies control their destiny. They finally do.
Yes, I agree with you. I agree with you. Ohio State dropping one to Penn State allowed the Huskies to move in there, and I still see a lot of big branding love, but it's well-deserved. Michigan, obviously Alabama, but it's well-deserved. And now Huskies need to stay the course. They've got games that are still in their schedule that I worry about other than the Pac-12 championship. Of course, starts this week in Utah. Then they've got Cal, and of course they got Wazoo at the end of the year. All road games, which there's a level of concern for me.
They're going to be fired up in Pullman at that Apple Cup.
I hope so. I can't stand the Cougs. So I hope so.
Listen, no offense to anyone who lives. That is such a hole of a city. I've been there. Hey, Pullman. No, I'm just saying, I've been to Pullman. I've spent time in Pullman. It is such a hole. I'm not. I've been to the
Cougs. You're trying to get on Lincoln's good side.
One is in Seattle.
Well, exactly how would you picture Pullman, Washington,
it's
Katie?
Horrible. You know what we did for fun
I've
in Pullman?
I've been to Pullman.
We went to Idaho.
Idiot.
That's what we did for fun in Pullman. Sorry. Sorry, Lincoln.
Very true. That's me. There's no love lost. I can't stand Pullman. I can't stand. Look, I had the only time I lost to the Cougs was in Pullman in a snowstorm. When we had to play the Apple Cup over there. And I can honestly see a lot of that happening this year, too, with the way the weather patterns have been. So I'm concerned about it.
You have not experienced real depression unless you've stumbled out of the Coug in Pullman at 2:30 in the morning in about 38 degrees. Always a pleasure, Lincoln.
Thanks, Lincoln.
We'll talk to you next week.
Pleasure is mine. Be well. Have a great week.